Gianluigi Buffon, Will. How would you describe him in three words?
Goalkeeper, Italian, old.
Wow. So you put his nationality, his profession, and the age he is now in relation to you. I mean, if you were 100-year-old Italian mindset, that guy's in the prime of his life. Well, I would say goalie as well. Longevity, maybe, another one. Serial bridesmaid, perhaps, another one. I don't know.
That's two words. There's a hyphen.
Yeah. Well, anyways, people might describe us as disrespectful. You're talking about a six-time Serie A winner, I'm pretty sure. I just read. You might say, why don't we Gianluigi Buffon? He retired years ago. That's where you're wrong.
Yeah.
He was playing with Parma. You know, they say you play in Parma two times in your life. Well, once on the way up and once again on the way down.
Everyone says it.
That's where he started, apparently. I remember seeing pictures a few years ago. It was one of these kind of classic teams. They had like Varane, Cannavaro, Buffon. I think that club went bust like a while ago. I thought that club was wound up. You know, get her out of here. She's done.
Yeah.
But, apparently they were back. They're in Serie B. Maybe like a lead situation. I don't know, Will. I don't know. But he's back playing with them. But he cancelled his contract. He spent around until 2024. But then he heard someone describe him as old. And went, well, not really. And went, well, check your age. Check your birth cert. They went, oh my God, I'm 45 years of age. Why am I still playing?
You know your time is up when I think you can just say, hey, can I stop this contract? And the club goes, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Do what you want, mate.
Don't mind us. We're not only trying to get into Serie A here. You know, it's not like a real financial dogfight down here. But yeah, you know what? You do you. I don't even know if he was playing all the time. Do you think he came in and like, lads, I have an announcement. Lads, please put your forks in that, please. Lads, oh, he's at it again. This guy, I thought it was years ago. So,
did Buffon play for us?
Oh my God, Buffon's here. What a day. What a special guest for training. A really disrespectful start. That's terrible, actually. We can't do that, can we? We can't have like this, like,
it's so disrespectful. I haven't seen him in ages.
That we did sound like haters there. We sound like massive haters. I mean, the man, he's had a career of 28 years. For most people, that's a 1 year. He's had a 28-year career. In 2001, he made a record-breaking transfer to Juve for €52 million. In 2001.
2001? That must be worth like hundreds of million.
He was the most expensive goalkeeper at the time. I'm pretty sure he's close to the record there as well. But nevertheless, I mean, he would go on to win the World Cup 2006. Remember that, Will? Eh?
I do.
You know what their strength was there? Their defence. Yeah. Where did that start? The goalkeeping. 9 major tournaments from 1998 to 2016. He won 10 Serie A titles in 19 seasons, along with 5 Coppa Italia and 6 Italian Super Cup titles. He also reached 3 Champions League finals with Juve, but fell short ever claiming the prestigious trophy. Mm-hmm. And I will say, Will, 10 of those title is pretty good.
Yeah. But I know what you're going to say.
I'm not going to say it. This, you know, but, well, I will say it, Will. I mean, you know.
It's tough to...
How many of those are real? How many of those have asterisks beside them?
Yeah. Honestly, that is nonsense. Nonsense. All nonsense.
They say many, many garbage things.
You don't know what you're going to get.
You'll learn a lot more if you listen rather than talk all the time.
Plenty of time, no problem.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a No Nonsense podcast with Cahal and Will. Getting there, folks.
Hang in there, just one more episode, lads.
It's one more week, and then the show will start to write itself again.
Yep, thank God.
Speaking of which, is AI still stuck in 2021?
No, it's upped its game lately, I think.
Like, you know, like the news cycle, you know, it only knows information to 2021.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's September last year, I think. Yeah, we can't get it to do the job for us.
That way it could literally write itself.
I know, yeah.
Yeah.
Wright summarised last weekend's Premier League results with a humorous tone.
With an oblivious yet humorous tone.
Comma, make it sound Irish.
Oh, yeah, because if it's not Irish, you know, who cares? You know, everything has to be viewed through the prism of Irishness. Yeah. Make sure you added a reference to a chicken fillet roll. Speaking of which, Will, of chicken fillet rolls and Irishness and mm-hmm. Irish mammies. You yeah. an Irish mammy? I have an Irish mammy.
I do, yeah.
There you go. Well, folks, that's the show. We'll be back next week. no, look, Will, we're there, right? We're down to the kind of the dregs here, the real fucking dregs of transfer to Italy. Yeah. The big transfer happened. Jude Bellingham was gone. Fucking
yeah. Messi went.
That whole thing gone. Mbappe, once again, you know, overpromised, underdelivered.
Speaking of Mbappe, actually, I saw something that imagine you're a PSG. You're the owner of PSG. This guy is
I'm rich.
Already. Yeah, but this guy has really been a thorn in your side over the last few years.
Yeah.
Did you know that as of yesterday, the 1st of August, Mbappe had to be paid 60 million euros as a loyalty fee for PSG for still being there?
That's annoying, I'd say.
That is a loyalty fee.
Well, again, you know, he's holding up his end of the contract. It just happens that he's not going to do it again, which is not loyalty. It's loyalty to the contract that he signed. I don't know.
Yeah.
No matter how much money you have, that's got to be annoying, though. That's where you got to stick in his craw. But he's not going anywhere. I see him now. Nah, yeah, like Klopp laughed it off, saying like, "Yeah, no, we can't pay this kind of wages." You know, he's linked with Chelsea because they pay wages and stuff. But I mean, he's not going anywhere, is he? He's going to play for PSG, and then he's going to play for Real Madrid next year. That's in 2024. That's what's going to happen, and all this was just, you know, a waste of time.
A brief distraction from life.
Yeah, you know, briefer than the aliens even, I would say. Yeah, there is a few different people on the move, but like I said, this end of the transfer window, it's the kind of people that they're more interested in the move than anybody else, because this is, they really need to get this one over the line.
Yeah. Pre-season's nearly done, lads.
Yeah, I really need to find a club, lads. This is, you know, you would not believe my rent in London. I was looking at a few there. Sadio Mane, after a pretty bad time at Bayern Munich.
Very, very strange time.
In comparison to, you know, any other year he went to Bayern Munich, I think he would have had a good time. This year was not the year to go to Bayern Munich. But I mean, I always thought that was a strange move.
Yeah.
To be honest, because
they kind of replaced Lewandowski with a totally different player on a different part of the pitch.
It's one of those things where it's like a good player comes available, maybe we should take him. Just, you know, what's the worst they can have than having Mane on your team, you know?
Yeah.
But like at the same time,
he could punch up your other winger.
Well, yeah, like he could have fallen out with like the wingers you have, like Gnabry and Sané, who he's like similar age, maybe even a bit older. So it's like, okay, so it's not a replacement for the future. He's probably not. I mean, maybe you could say he's better than them, but he was playing better than them at Liverpool in a system which he'd known for years. These guys have been here for years. Is he that much better that he's going to come in and be, you know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah,
it never really made sense. It made sense from like a building a team point of view, but I guess they thought, well, sure, look, better to have him than not have him. Barry scores. Yeah. You know, a goal off the bench for us, then a goal against us playing for, you know, City or Juventus or whoever he went to besides, you know. But long story short is he's gone to Al Nassr after just 1 year by Munich. So him and Cristiano linking up.
Him, Cristiano, Brozovic and Alex Telles, I think, was their transfer window, which is just like a mishmash of random players.
Yeah, I mean, they're just getting the names in the door now, aren't they? You know? Yeah. That's the start. That's how you started off. This is their Robinho phase. You know, get him in. Yeah. Who cares how good he is?
Alex Telles, I think he played for Man United. How bad could he be?
But again, it's like gone from who to Alex Telles. Yeah. This is someone you know. Like, I mean, it's somebody who played. Again, we say, like, we look at Premier League players and go, ah, he's fucking brutal, you know. But he's
freak athlete.
Freak athlete. And by definition, one of the best players in the world because he's made it to the professional level. So I mean, and then you go to even of all the professionals, he's at one of the top five leagues, so You know, if you're there at all, if you're there at all, you're insane. So you go down to the Saudi Arabian League, it's a huge step down in quality from every player around you. You know what I mean? So I don't know if you see that that clip. They had a dash cam, a body cam on.
Yeah.
Who was this?
What was it? Tielemans against Newcastle. It was insane.
I'll never forget that image of like. What's your man's name? Gordon coming at him like a jump scare.
He's always at him.
It's like a video game jump scare. Like, Jesus Christ.
I did see all the comments under that were like, I'm not scoring 5 goals up top for season like I thought.
No, yeah. Chance. Em's like, oh, okay, now I get it. No, I can't do this. Not
the
at
press.
All.
And it's like they're playing Newcastle, who aren't like this like high pressing, you know.
No.
Like up the other. They're on them. The second you have the ball, Anthony Gordon is in your face, no matter where you are on the pitch.
Well, that's it. It's like Anthony Gordon, not renowned for his press or really for anything. And then Tielemans as well. People have said, oh, he moves the ball so fast ever. But like, you know, the two of them were just like, Jesus Christ, these guys are unbelievable. So, I mean, yeah, look, Saudi Arabia are definitely building something. It's not a one-off transfer to, you know, like some kind of crazy billionaire who goes, you know what, my goal in life was to have a team with Ronaldo in it and I've achieved that and now I don't care anymore. They are trying to build something. Again, no one ever dreamed about having Alex Telles in their team based on his Man United performances. So that's just like, this is the better player we have. Let's get him in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's looking up for Saudi Arabia, I would say.
Yeah, it really is. Something we called over and over and over again over the last 3 years was the Liverpool team is coming to an end. It's round the corner. We know it.
That happened last year, Will.
Little did we know we were more correct than ever. They've all gone to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
In the space of a few months.
I mean, look, there was a time when Liverpool were worried that if they got a player that was too good, they would lose him.
Yeah.
You know, now they're holding on to their players and then selling them just the right time when they're no good to anybody anymore. So, yeah. I mean, they really are playing blind to Liverpool, I have to say, this transfer window. They've held on to the players, got the most out of them. I mean, they sold Fabinho there to not the same place as Jordan Henderson and a different club, but they sold him for $46 million.
Yeah, which is like, mad. Like his legs were gone all last season.
Again, you know, is a player that quality worth that much in the Saudi Arabian League? Is money a real thing?
Yeah,
these questions kind of come into the transfer window, I think. But I mean, based on the last couple of years, he was very injury prone. But hey, if Anthony Gordon's come back that fast, yeah, I probably pulled something too, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think Fabinho is only like 30 maybe, but he's run himself ragged in midfield for years.
So yeah, he's gone out. Henderson's gone out. Milner's gone out. They only got two in. I saw they're linked with Romeo Lavia. Is it Romeo?
I think so. It might be Romeo.
I like Romeo.
Yeah, Romeo's cool.
Loverboy Lavia, they call him.
Yeah, they're desperate to get him over the line, but it seems slow moving. And like at the start of the window, you don't mind that. But when it's Premier League's back in a week and a half, I think, and your midfield hasn't played together yet, if you do get him in, that's not good.
No. I see a lot of people putting Liverpool very high in their...
too high.
You know, their I guess Premier League predictions.
Yeah.
I don't know. People are really underestimating Newcastle, I feel. I think people feel like that was a bit of a flash in the pan.
Yeah. I do think Newcastle will find it tougher with being in European football this year. I mean, of course, sure, they're gonna have all their eggs in the Champions League basket. But they've made good signings as well. So yeah, I think they'll be well up there. It's definitely the most competitive the league has ever been. Because I think you'd be hard pressed to name the top 7 as opposed to the top 3 like it used to be.
Yeah. I mean, I see a few people are going on their like kind of legacy predictions. And they're like, City obviously won. Yeah. Man United 2, Liverpool 3, Arsenal 4. I'm like, that's not going to happen. That's not even... Now listen.
Arsenal have had the best transfer window. And like not like last year. They've had an unbelievable transfer window, some of the players they've signed.
Yeah, although we have got the news today, Jesus has pulled a knee. And he's all they got, Will, up front. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that is where they're lacking still. Their midfield is very good now. Apparently, they're not selling Partey anymore either. So, they have Partey and Rice, which is good.
Wow.
But, yeah, they haven't really filled in the number 9 role, I think. Because even when Jesus was back in the second half of last season.
Yeah.
He wasn't exactly banging them in every week.
No, and again, it's you just need someone there all year round. If it's not Jesus, someone else to come in, because most strikers will have a period where they're maybe playing a lot of games or not playing well. You need someone else to kind of pick up the slack. So it's not easy. Again, this is what I'm to win the league. You know, like they got second, and it wasn't good of Jesus. Need more from your son, you know. So, like, you do need something else. You can't really expect anyone else to do more than that.
Yeah.
Unless you buy someone like a Haaland or a Lewandowski, you know, someone's going to bang in goals at a crazy rate. But, I don't know. I think you'd be looking at City again as the favourites just because it's, you know, mad. I mean, because last year I thought, they're blowing up the team. Let Sterling go. Let him walk out the door, you know.
They don't have Sterling. What are they going to do?
Like when they sold Zinchenko and then they sold Cancelo in the middle of the season. I was like, these guys have lost the plot. You need left back, boys. No, you don't. They've had a lot of rumours anyways. I don't know if they've let a lot of players go this season. They left...
Mahrez definitely is gone.
Yes, Mahrez gone.
Bernardo Silva is desperately trying to escape, but it doesn't seem like it's going to happen again.
Every transfer window feels like he's leaked away or he's gone away.
Because he's always apparently wants to go to Barca. But Barca are notorious for never having any actual money on hand. They've got to pull a lot of levers and things like that. So it always seems like they have bigger fish to fry than get Bernardo in. They're like, we're trying to sell the name of the stadium, lads. We're busy this week.
Imagine like this conversation going on with Bernardo Silva's agent. And then he's like relaying it. He's like, just... Why do you want to go here so badly, Brandon? I don't. I mean, and what do you know what a lever is? I know what a lever is. Why do they have to talk about these levers all the time? What actually is a lever?
You know, Messi hasn't played here in like years.
Xavi's the coach. He isn't actually playing where he coaches the team. You won't be playing with Xavi. Like, I'm just trying to guess why you want to go. I know, you know.
You just won the treble here, Bernardo.
Because. You know, I see what my paycheck is 10%. I'm assuming it's 10% of yours. If that's true, then I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. I want just best for you and me. I think he'd probably stay again because they left Gundogan go to Barcelona, actually. He actually did get to go to Barcelona.
Who's huge.
Yeah.
Walker is, it seems like every week he's being offered bigger, newer contracts of City, but it seems like he's turned every one of them down so far.
Yeah.
So they're... It seems like he's like, please stop giving me money. I want to leave.
I want to be a helpful tool in getting Harry Kane out of this club. I owe it to him. When I left Tottenham, I said, don't worry, Harry, someday I'll come back for you. And this is what I meant by that. I don't know. It's a strange one. But I guess it's like he's won everything now, City. He's achieved it all. So, I mean, maybe he wants to change it up, do something different. I don't know. But even still, they're so good now, his point, and they still have Pep. They still have the kind of winning way at the club. It's hard to kind of back against them.
It does feel like it's the weakest they are going into a season, though, which is funny because after winning the treble. But, like, you think the hangover effect of that surely is a thing. And then I think especially losing Gundogan, who's always massive at the tail end of the season when they need someone to drag them over the line some games. Replacing him with Kovacic, who is like, he's a great player, but he's not giving you what Gundogan was, I think.
I think he's very similar to Gundogan in that Gundogan was very injury prone at Dortmund. And again, it wasn't like he was wanted to buy Real Madrid or PSG at the time. It was like, this guy can't stay on the pitch. And then City said, well, why if we play only 20 games because we have loads of different players?
Yeah.
That might work. And I think Kovacic did the same thing. He was good at City, but very injury prone. I think he'll do the exact role that, like, yeah, you won't play all the games, but at the end, when we need someone fresh, you won't have played all the group stages of the Champions League games, the FA Cup games. That's when you come in, you score important goals. I could see that happening again. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Like I say, other than Arsenal, who were good last year, I think most people were, you know, underestimated them last year. And again, this year they'll say, well, if you can do it again, I'd be very impressed. If you have another surprise season, I'd be very impressed. Even with the signings, because, you know, I just, if you haven't ever seen them do before, I mean, how can I expect them to do it now? So,
yeah. And it, like, last year, up until the last few weeks, people were like, this isn't going to last. They'll fall off any game now. And then when it did happen, they're like, ha, I knew it. But they were there for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. And now they have Champions League football now as well.
Yeah.
So that'll be an extra chance. Because again, whatever about the Europa League, lots of people have crashed out of the Europa League and said, oh no. You know, yeah. We're third in our own league, so that's actually more important in everything, prestige, money, everything, so whatever. But if you crash out of the Champions League, then there's kind of a feeling of, okay, well, if you're not in the Champions League right now or doesn't look like you're going to finish it this year, last year's kind of progress season was bullshit. Yeah.
What was it all for?
There's no, you have nothing now. The last two seasons have been nothing because you're not going to get this year either. So there's a lot more pressure on us. So we have to kind of focus. I think that's maybe what people are thinking about Newcastle. Thinking yeah. This was what the money's about. If you don't do well in Champions League, then it was pointless. You know.
Yeah, and it's a tricky one for them because they got it definitely ahead of schedule, I would say. I would be very surprised if they were expected Champions League last year. I'm sure they would have thought Chelsea and Liverpool and Spurs would all be, you know, right up there. But
yeah, because
now that they're in it early, it's tough to tell what's the expectation for them.
Yeah, so maybe. But I think they're still solid and their strengths that they're solid. Yeah. Liverpool, like you say, I don't know. I think the midfield, it could surprise me, but I'd be surprised if that just like immediately worked well and there was no weaknesses and there was no like misunderstandings of like, oh, I thought you were going to go here. And, you know, is Trent going to still be right back? Is he going to be midfield? Fucking knows. They haven't signed another right back, so I guess he probably will be. We should be doing that. Why are we doing the pre-season predictions?
Yeah, this is next week.
Shit. What are the? Well, it's just the transfer news. It's so boring. You know, I just like, you know, what other tittle-tattle do we even have to report on that we're forgetting to mention?
There's not much. We mentioned Arsenal there. There is one interesting transfer that's popped up, and a surprising one, is Raya from Brentford to Arsenal, which... I don't know if that's like, I know people are saying that's what you want, you know, the league winning team, you want competition and fighting for the number one. I don't think Ramsdale wants that. I think he'd hate that.
Well, for most positions, yes, you'd want that. Maybe not for, I think, a striker and I think a goalie. And maybe,
yeah,
I think everyone else, because you play a lot of games, you want centre backs to come in and cover for your star centre back, you want him for the big game. You know, but the striker, he wants to be playing and scoring goals. You want him to just be on form, on fire all the time. Don't stop scoring goals. Yeah. The keeper as well, you want him to be saving shots every week. You don't come in cold to a semi-final or final. Yeah. Oh, fuck, what is this, football? Oh, shit. How do I do this again?
Are we a passive out team or a kick it long team?
Last time I played, we were kicking it out, I swear. I remember it clearly that we were kicking it out. So I think, yeah, the goalie situation... is mad because, again, if you're Aaron Ramsdale, life comes at you fast. You know, three seasons ago, I should say, you relegated for the second time in a row. You're like, wow, this is really not going to work out for me, is it? You know, this is not a good look. And then you get bought to Arsenal and everyone says, idiots, he's got relegated twice. He's a bad keeper.
We all saw it.
It's a fact. And then this season, he's like, oh, this guy's amazing. He should be England number one. And then he's like, well, you know what? At least I played well that season. We didn't win the whole year, but my career is back on track. And now he wasn't consulted on this. Of course he wasn't. He just starts to hear it and see it and go, competition at Arsenal. And then it's like all these like polls. Who should be Arsenal number one? It's like, what the hell is happening? This guy hasn't even played for us yet.
Every single poll is going to say, the new guy.
new shiny. Guy,
new, new keeper role.
Yeah, yeah. Raya played for Brentford last year. Now, look. Brentford had a good season and he had a good season. A fantasy legend last season.
Yeah.
But we've seen it many times. A keeper from a team that plays a different way and faces different challenges doesn't always translate to, you know, a team that maybe has the ball a lot and faces three really important shots in the whole game. Yeah. You know, or even three important moments, one high ball maybe, you know, and then that's your...
You're not in the game going, hey, a draw here would be a great result, lads. Yeah.
This is must win. Any mistake, you are not worth the money you're being paid. That's simple as. So
I knew we should have played Ramsdale, they'll say.
This is the thing for Arsenal now. You have two good keepers on the bench. One makes a mistake. Camera pans to other keeper on the bench.
Yeah.
Every game is going to happen.
You've created a thing now.
Now it's a thing. Exactly. Yeah. So Yeah, I don't know. It's in a way, like say, it's like this what you want. You want to be keep improving and don't be sitting on your laurels. But I think anybody but a goalie and a striker does want to feel under pressure because it's psychologically such a tough one. Like the guy, because again, that's people say they're the ones who won the game. Even though there's other players on the pitch, it's like, well, you missed that chance or you scored that chance or you flapped that ball or you came out and cleaned it. So they want to be confident. They want to feel rock solid in their position. Yeah. You don't want to be
the one over their shoulder.
Yeah, you don't want people breathing down their neck. You know, you want them to be like calm and collected. So I don't know. We'll see how that one plays out. But another reason why I think Man City might win the league for a third year in a row.
Fourth, I believe.
Oh, number four, baby. Up the Dubs. What about Josco, Will?
Josco Gvardiol.
Gvardiol.
I believe.
Do you think he's going to be confused or it's going to be confusing? Like they'll say, Gvardiol, and then they'll both turn around or no? Do you think that will...
I don't think so.
No? Hopefully not.
I'd say they call him Pep. It'd be weird if they're saying Gvardiola.
Do you think they call him Boss or Gaffer?
Gaffer, yeah.
Pep. Anyhow, Josco Gvardiol, Gvardiol, I don't know if you pronounce it here or not, but he looks like he might now be going to Man City.
Officially, yeah.
Should we check the Twitter, Will, see if there's a here you go, just in case, to make it official?
Yeah, so there was an official here we go from Fabrizio Romano, who said, an agreement has been reached over a fee and a deal is on the verge of being signed after the player completed the first part of his medical. Here we go.
Nice. Well, what was that today, yesterday?
It was, I believe, 3 weeks ago.
Oh, wow. He really is ahead of the game.
He is ahead of the game. Interestingly as well, Gvardiol's club, RB Leipzig, said he has not done a medical for Man City and he is still very much an RB Leipzig player.
Yeah, he got that one a bit wrong, didn't he? Fucking Fabrizio, sorry.
As far as we are concerned, a deal is not close at all.
And did you see, you know, like when there's misinformation on Twitter now, they have the community notes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like this is bullshit, basically. And I had those quotes from RB Leipzig on it. And then all the, you know, like, hold this L, like, hold that community note.
You can't be the final confirmation guy if you ever have get that wrong. Because then it all falls apart.
And, like, he never mentioned it again. Like, it's going through yeah. now, which leads me to believe that he got information from somebody inside one of the sources. Like, it was probably going to happen. They're like, oh, yeah, it's just going to be a matter of weeks. Yeah. RB Leipzig don't know yet, but it will be. Don't worry. When they see
here
the
we
money,
go.
yeah. Go ahead and say, here we go. And then there was some kind of snag or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was longer. And I was like, wait a minute, what's this? And he probably fucked up a few things for people, I'd say. You know.
Oh, but, yeah. I'd say he got big trouble.
But again, I'd say it was a legitimate source. I mean, she did the right stuff, but... You know, the person who told him probably shouldn't have told him, I'd say.
Yeah. He did make another mistake over the last 2 days. United are linked with Amrabat, is that his name?
Amrabat, yeah. Amrabat, the hero of the Moroccan World Cup effort.
Well. Exactly. They're linked with him now. That looks like the final piece of their transfer window.
Yeah.
But Fabrizio put up yesterday some quotes from him after a game. And he said, I'm not too sure where I go next. I'm very much focused on where I am now. And if it was up to me, I think I would stay here. So that didn't look good for the United transfer. But then today, Fabrizio tweeted, I have confirmed with very reliable source those quotes were made up. Oh, deal's still very much on. And I think Amrabat as well came out and said, like, I never said that. I want to go to Man United.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Like, he's so famous now, I'd say there's probably people who... And like, if you're a journalist or whatever, there's probably definitely a bit of jealousy as well. Because, I mean, we've said before, like, he's just a here we go guy.
You know? Yeah.
And by that, I mean, he makes 200 grand a year or so off Twitter by tweeting out, here we go. Now, listen, the man's odd doesn't have a light touch job. He tweets fucking 24/7. And, like, I'd say he's never off the phone. But from the outside looking in, people are looking and go, he just fucking tweets, here we go. So if you had the ability to give him a fake source, I think one of those two people would have said, yeah, I got a quote for you. Oh, yeah, he said that. Oh, yeah, you can quote me on that. Just call me a reliable source.
It's funny as well because I think when you're, if like your club is linked with a transfer deal,
yeah,
and it's like a player you really want to get in, so you're keeping an eye on it, you do realize how he operates is that he'll say the same thing in six different ways over the course of a month. But yeah, it seems it's inching closer, but really nothing has changed.
Yeah. Personal terms and principle, then personal terms are agreed. And it's like, yeah, what's the difference? Like, very different. Very, very different. You wouldn't get it. But yeah.
Money stuff.
That's how you make that money on Twitter. You tweet constantly. Constantly, consistently.
The algorithm. It loves it.
Yeah. So look, fair play to Fabrizio. He got one wrong, you know. Something that we've never done.
Yeah, exactly.
So I can't relate to what he's going through right now. But I mean, I'm sure he feels justified. And my sneaking suspicion is that someone screwed him over, which is very funny.
Yeah, for sure. And if it's happened twice with the quotes as well, very funny if that's now a common occurrence. Because then it's just chaos.
Yeah, look, you get too big, they build you up and they chop you down. So he's probably sweating over. Next time he gets quotes, he's probably double and triple checking it. So I mean, listen.
But you have to think he's probably killed the Sky Sports transfer deadline day dead because he just does it himself. Why would I watch Sky Sports News when this guy just tells me instantly what's going on?
Well, it's more accessible than Sky Sports News.
Yeah.
As well, when it's on Twitter, you can just check, and if you follow him, he'll come up if he's any news and quickly scroll through. You go on Sky Sports, even if the Sky Sports app, I'm going to switch it on and then, you know, wait for the hour to end so it starts again. Like, you know, just give me the news. I want it instant. I want it now, you know. Even the ticker at the bottom, it's like I have to read it till it goes to my story.
I caught the end of it. I need to see the start of sentence.
Yeah, go. What, four-year deal? Who was four-year deal? I saw United four-year deal. And then it comes back, Sheffield United four-year deal. You go, for fuck.
Yeah, bollocks.
That's not what I wanted to see. I think Twitter as a whole killed the whole Sky Sports transfer deadline day. Well, I don't know, the deadline, did they still promote the fuck out of the deadline day?
I don't know, because I don't think anyone really watches Sky Sports News anymore to tell you that.
Yeah, again, I've watched a few hungover bank holiday Mondays or whatever. I've watched Good Morning Sports Fans or the Football League Show or different Ref Watch is one I watch sometimes when I'm not working.
Ref Watch is good.
But I don't know, I watch Sky Sports other than the hungover and the unemployed. I don't know. It's coming to an end, Will. Coming to an end, the summer transfer window. Have you enjoyed it? Has it been one of the worst?
I think easily one of the worst. I think, like we said, just as accessible as it is now, means there's never a surprise anymore, I think. Yeah. And also, because every deal, all of the details are so like explicitly put out there every single day, that by the time the transfer goes through, you're like, fucking finally, Jesus. We need to get on to the next one now. We've been trying to sign Mason Mount for 2 months, which costs like 70 million quid. Of course it'd take that long.
Yeah. Do you know, if there was there's no surprises.
Yeah.
If it was literally nothing, 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 and then out of nowhere, it's like Arsenal signed Declan Rice. It's like, whoa, that's huge. Yeah. And it would seem bigger, it'd seem more important because it's been linked for, he would have been linked away for so long. And again, it's on your phone. You see it all the fucking time. You see he wants to go. Like as soon as he finished he won the Europa Conference League, he said goodbye to his teammate. That was reported. He's going, he's leaving. Thomas Tuchel, how do you feel about Declan Rice leaving? He's like, I think he's earned it. You know, it's like, it's just relentless. So when he eventually signs, it's like, I know. Okay.
I've already worked out the problems with this transfer by now.
Yeah. How is Partey going to fit in now, you know? Whereas it's out of nowhere, you know, Real Madrid signed Jude Bellingham. It's like, whoa, what the fuck? Instead, we had to watch the long, drawn-out courting of him during the World Cup. And everyone's going to take it like, what does this picture between Trent Alexander-Arnold and Jude Bellingham mean for the transfer of Jude Bellingham, which he definitely will next summer? This is never just announced. I want it just to be announced and there's no kind of preamble and it's just out of the blue. That's, I think, why they used to be good.
Imagine what it was like, say, back in the 90s or so. It's like, imagine if you're like a big Leeds fan and you turn on the TV one day and United have signed Cantona. You'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, and if I was back then, Will, I definitely wouldn't have been reading newspapers even. So I would have been completely blindsided. I'd be like, whoa, what the fuck?
First day of the league. Hold on now. Where's Cantona?
Wait a minute. I don't see him on the bench. What's going on?
Yeah, he's not injured, is he? That'd be terrible for us.
I mean, you'd only be the like the be game week four before they even show a live game as well. So like, yeah. Whoa, what, is that the table? Is that us on the table? What? What's going on? Yeah, I definitely think the information overload has added to the whole kind of I don't care about this as much anymore. It's like,
yeah,
because I even I don't want to hear it. I'm up on the news. I know all about it.
Because even like you might have seen a fucking 6 minute YouTube video on how exactly this player fits in 2 months before you've even signed him. So when he comes, he's like, yeah, I know the plan. Yeah.
That was a big shift actually, because before it used to be skills and tricks videos that were utterly useless.
Oh yeah, like, it told you nothing.
It's like, well, how else did the game go? Was that the first time he missed the game? Did he fade out the game? How was he defensively? But if I see him doing step overs and Cruyff turns, like, yes. 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 Yes.
He's the guy.
But now you can see, like, you know, an actually like good tactical football podcast will have done a deep dive with the accompanying video of his like his movement and yeah, so
and
like
the replacement they have lined up for him when he eventually leaves.
Yeah. Like I know Szoboszlai for Liverpool, for the record, not a Liverpool fan. I know he's taken I think like 16 penalties in his career. He's scored all but one of them, and he goes the same side every time, but he hits so perfectly. That. You know that one?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't look that up. That came to me, Will. Yeah. That was put in front of my eyes, and I watched it.
It must
like
be
the sheep that
it
I
must
am.
Be so hard to be a manager and try to like pull any surprises these days. Even like, it's almost like taking a penalty. You have to be like, stop showing people. Stop putting that on the Premier League WhatsApp.
If you're a Premier League goalkeeper, you're just going to stand outside the goal, you know?
What are you going to do, bud?
Just seem completely implode. Like, oh no, he knows. How did he know? But yeah, it's one of those things. It is kind of information overload sometimes, but I'm looking forward to getting back, you know?
Yeah. Regular, it seems like a long time since there's been Premier League football, which normally isn't the case because we've had international tournament after international tournament after international tournament. But this feels like that was a nice break. I'm ready for the football again now. Whereas I remember last summer being like, oh God, it's back already. Jesus.
Speaking of which, Will, I think we may have got the Euro 2028.
I think we might have. On the most beautiful rule of all, the technicality.
The two sweetest words in the English language, default. Yeah. Turkey and Italy were going first, and they've now decided to go for a joint bid for the World Cup in 2032.
The no-nonsense World Cup of Italy and Turkey together.
Yeah. I know. That would be amazing, Will. You know, they'd probably have us over there as like kind of the Grand Marshals or whatever of the tournament.
At least the hosts of the opening ceremony.
We have to be involved somehow, you know. Maybe we could do a song for it. But they said, you know what, keep your Euros. We're going for the big fish. We're going for the World Cup.
We said, that sounds good to us.
Exactly. It left us as the only remaining bidder. So no one else wants this. We get it, along with England. And is it Scotland and Wales as well?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's the, what's it called?
The British Isles.
British Isles, yeah.
Yeah. It should only help people's confusion of, is Ireland in the UK or not?
Yeah.
Kind of, but not all of it, only a small part. And really, we don't like it.
Well, this is the thing. I wonder, do we not get in because we're only hosting two games automatically? Which that would be like, oh, it would be nice to still be in the UK just for this month. Get that sweet Euros.
Let's put our differences aside, everybody, okay? Yeah.
Everything we were talking about before, don't mind that.
Yeah, the last Euros, we were meant to have games here.
Yeah.
And we didn't qualify for it.
Yes.
But that,
and then COVID happened as well.
Oh yeah, we didn't get the games in at all because the England's restrictions were less than ours at the time. But that was a multi-Europe Euros. That wasn't that the idea of that.
Yeah.
At the worst possible time. Like, don't travel anywhere. It's like, well, we do have a thing coming up. I will say it involves a lot of people going from one place to the other.
There's going to be people flying from Wembley to Baku and back.
You're putting on planes? Oh, yeah, lots of planes. Tight areas, cheap flights. Yeah, a lot of people crammed in small places. And then we're bringing that to other places. Little petri dishes flying all over Europe. That's the plan.
So insane that went dead.
God bless Budapest. Remember them? Just like yeah. Doors completely open. Raucous stadiums. But yeah, the difference between that one was it wasn't one country like officially hosting it. I don't think it was yeah. everybody involved, you know. Yeah. We've gone back the old way, thank God. yeah. And less travel. Just one area, I guess, the British Isles. Of
yeah.
So maybe by that definition of us being an actual host nation, we'll get in.
We should. That'd be great.
Listen, this may have already been confirmed. I might be talking complete nonsense here, but hopefully that is the case, that we do get in by default.
At the very least, you would think it's an extra incentive to try to get there, lads, if we don't get in by default. Surely to fuck... Give it a good go. We might play a game in Dublin.
Another one. I was hoping to travel this time. I don't know. It's exciting. We'll have a home Euros.
If, yeah, that'd be amazing.
Presuming we're in it. And the hosts usually do well, I'll have you know.
They normally do.
All four of them. They usually do well. Yeah,
I don't know if that applies anymore. There's so many teams.
I remember when was it Poland and Ukraine hosted this in 2012?
Yeah.
I don't think either of them did particularly well or any better than they should have done anyways, you know.
Well, like if you think hosts England playing in the Aviva Stadium in Dublin, like it's not going to affect them at all.
Well, yeah, no, but if they have games in Wembley, it'll definitely help. Yeah, or even then. Wales and Cardiff, that'd be pretty good.
Yeah, hopefully you know. They don't get to the final in their own country again. That was a real pain.
Yeah, again, just the way it worked out, Will. That wasn't by design. Leave them off, yeah. I'd say. I didn't win anyway, so it's all good.
Yeah. And they smashed up their stadium as well.
Yeah. Yeah, made a fucking show themselves. So, yeah, I won't hold against them. Speaking of tournaments we're in right now, Will, or, well, I guess we were in up until very recently, at the Women's World Cup.
Yes. Not the Italia 90 bandwagon tournament we had hoped and we mentioned last week. Although it did end similar to a different tournament, Saipan.
Yeah, not quite that bad.
No.
But I mean, the comparisons between Kate McCabe and Roy Keane continue for sure.
Yeah.
Apparently, this is, you know, what the people are saying. Well, this is the word on the street.
And the people are, I will say, Vera Powell, the manager, and Kate McCabe. So it's coming from their mouths.
Who knows what's happening? Yeah, what was it? She said we would need fresh legs on.
They were drawn a little with Nigeria, third game of the group. Nigeria were already through, though. I think Ireland had to win 4-0 to
stop
Canada Nigeria going through.
We're hopping, or getting hopped off by Australia, which I did not see coming.
Yeah.
Tournament football, well, it's so unpredictable.
So it was a bit of an odd game then where, like, there's not really to play for, but we'll give it a go. And some of the players looked like they were tiring, but also some of the players hadn't played a full 90 minutes in the World Cup yet. So it was like, reward them with a full game here, like there's nothing to play for.
Yeah.
Later on in the game, Kate McCabe, very visibly to everyone in the stadium and also the TV cameras, started having a bit of a go at the coach, saying, hey, fucking Sinead Farrelly behind me, her legs are gone. Swap her out. We need some fresh legs on. And Vera Powell just ignored her very, like, blatantly and obviously. It was like not looking at her, ignoring her. Mm. And then it seemed out of spite, refused to make any substitutions for the rest of the game where we visibly were tiring. As in, like, you're not going to tell me we need fresh legs. I decide that. And we don't, even though we did.
I'm the boss. I'm the gaffer.
I'm the boss, exactly. And it seemed like that was it. These things happen, you know. But then after the game, Vera Powell, during a press conference, was asked about, you know, this, what had happened, and she said,
why would we change?
That's why I'm asking you the question. I don't know what the
difference is. If Katie McCabe says that she wants to change, it doesn't mean she's not the coach, yeah? Everybody was doing so well. So I said, what do you want, Katie, taking the best player off? No. But that a player's allowed to be emotional, and players allowed to say that. That's fine. But during the game, I do a step back and I analyze, and we make changes the moment that it's necessary.
Then Katie McCabe asked you to make changes and you refused. Is that correct? Fair comment?
No. No, because a player doesn't ask and you refuse. A player can ask always, but as a coach, it's not a refusal. As a coach, you make decisions on what is necessary. A player can say everything to a coach, at least to me.
What did she say?
That she wanted fresh legs. Yeah, and on her side.
And why didn't you make that change?
Because everybody was doing so well. Sinead Farrelly was arguably the best player on the pitch at that moment, so I was not prepared to take the best player off.
Shouldn't have said that. Don't be naming the players. Don't tell Sinead Farrelly Kate McCabe was saying that, I would assume. Yeah.
Keep it in house.
It just seemed very unprofessional on all, like, from all parts. And then Kate McCabe, immediately after this press conference, tweeted out the emoji with the zip across his mouth. You know, she can't speak. She's in big trouble if she speaks.
You got one person channeling Steve Staunton, another person is channeling Jose Mourinho. I mean, that's real good stuff, Will.
Yeah, not the ending to the tournament. I think anyone wanted. There's a parade for a welcome home parade happening soon, which I have to think is going to be the most awkward parade ever after that ending to the tournament. Vera Powell, it seems like, is on the way out. None of the players came out in support of anything she said about Kate McCabe or her being the coach throughout the whole tournament. It even seemed like they kind of blew by whenever the players were asked about the allegations against her being, you know, like rude to players in the past or like coming to players' weight. It never seemed like they were like stood with their manager. It very much seemed like, yes, this is a huge distraction for our tournament. We really wish this wasn't happening.
Yeah. Well, again, it's you can't speak for other people because a lot of it was just anonymous people's personal experiences.
Yeah.
So, and if you weren't there, you can't say it's probably a lie.
Yeah. You know?
I mean, it's one thing if you're an unknown podcaster, we can say that, you know. Yeah. But I mean, they can't.
There's no repercussions.
Say that. Yeah. Ever, probably. ever. But it's been building, I think, this whole Vera Powell, Cade McCabe thing, because we saw, obviously, during the World Cup, Cade McCabe is not one to pull out with challenge, we'll say.
Mm.
You know, but after the Colombia game where they called it off, where, you know, I guess the decision was, you know, time and place for this kind of roughhousing. But they were obviously asked, like, you know, what the fuck happened? Because none of the media were there. And Vera Powell was talking about the fear in the players' eyes. You know, I saw the whites of their eyes. You know, they couldn't hack it. I had to get them out of there. You know, they weren't built for it. And then Cade McCabe came out and said the exact opposite, saying that we were, you know, violence is ingrained in us. We bloody love it. You know, don't be listening to that shite. You know, it wasn't us. It was them. So yeah, I think she probably took umbrage with that whole kind of it was my players too soft for this, you know, because like that's again if that's like we're going to the tournament thinking we're a hard team to play against, we're tough defensively.
Don't tell them we're soft.
Don't tell like they were afraid of those Colombians. They're crazy over there.
Hopefully they don't see them again.
Yeah. Oh God. You know, we're literally shaking our boots here. And then while also telling everybody how great the Australians were and how amazing the Canadians were and they're so technically good and we're cowards, you know, I don't know what's going to happen.
She said, one of the things Vera Powell said that in her eyes, Nigeria are a top 10 team in the world. Do you know where Nigeria are ranked in the world rankings?
I do, but I'll let you tell the listeners, Will.
40th.
But she feels like they're top 10 and you can't argue with the feeling, Will, so...
I guess it just seems like it's been a disaster when it should have been a huge, amazing turning point. It seems like now my thought of the Irish women's team is not like, oh, a bunch of like incredible heroes. You know, they made it to their first tournament. Is a turning point. It's like, oh, there's a lot of trouble going on there. That seems like it's like a few years away from turning that around, which it seems mad.
Well, it's it's one of those things because obviously, you know, we don't really follow the women's game. Most people don't follow the men's national team either. So, you know, we get there to a tournament and we go, oh, really? We must be decent to get there.
Yeah.
You know, and then you watch them play a very defensive, cautious, conservative style of play and you go, oh, okay, well, that's not the ideal kind of entertainment I was looking for tonight, but I'll watch because, you know, I'm a patriot, for Christ's sake. And then, you know, at some point during the game or maybe when all is lost, one of our players starts to go forward, like a Cade McCabe or a Wes Hoolan type player, and you go, hang on, he's pretty good. She's pretty good. Why wasn't he doing that before? And then you think, oh, there's a falling out between that really good player I saw and then the manager. And then the thing of like, well, it was amazing to get there and she must be a genius to get these bunch of slack-jawed idiots to an international tournament. And turns to go, well, maybe she's been underestimating them.
Yeah.
Maybe they're actually better than like sitting back and crunching tackles and hopefully we get one goal in the tournament is all we got.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, did we underperform?
And the goal was like a moment of magic from a player. It wasn't like a tactical masterclass.
No, it wasn't a well-worked move. So I was like, okay, maybe she's holding us back. And it can flip very quickly after people get the eyes on the team. And then if there's a falling out, they go, well, there must be fire. There's no smoke without fire here, Maybe I was right in my assessment of this team I've watched 3 times.
It's mad how quickly it's turned, though, because I remember Paddy's Day watching the parade in Dublin on telly. And Vera Powell was like, I think she was like the guest of the whole parade. Like she had her own car. I think she won Sports Person of the Year, I think, from RTE last year. Hopefully she's in charge forever. And then literally in the space of 20 minutes, people were like, oh, fuck her. Oh, no, she's out. Like this has been a disaster.
Yeah, no, if you ever find out the player like that, it's never good. But when you seem to start it.
Yes.
You seem to initiate it. It's like, well, surely that's like where your job is to manage kind of expectations and players. And this feels like a bad move management-wise to out somebody and say, well, she was having to go with me, by the way. Blame her for the loss.
And this is the thing is that like there was no need. The tournament's done. It's finished anyway. That press conference easily could have been like, ah, these things happen on the pitch. Next question. There was no need to blow this out of proportion. And then especially when the... Like we said, the hit piece that came out before it doesn't look good then if at the end of the tournament you have all the players turned against you.
Yeah, well, that's it too. It's the only thing is that maybe she thought the players would turn against her. Maybe she thought, well, if I don't say what happens, Cade McCabe's going to say I said something.
Yeah.
And with all these kind of allegations, it'll give that more weight. So I better get ahead of the story.
Yeah.
So she's like, listen, I'm the coach. That's all it was. It was a player coach situation. I don't know.
Yeah.
You got to like, this is a normal thing that happens in football. This is just,
everyone relax, so. Everyone calm down.
Yeah, maybe just trying to get ahead of the story that she thought was going to come out again, but I don't know. It's not that deal. And I keep seeing that picture of, Roy Keane and Mick McCarthy
shaking hands
while looking away, which, when you shake hands, do you hold eye contact till the end? I mean, I've never seen the footage. I've only ever seen the photo.
But like, people always share that picture as from being from like Saipan. But I don't think it is because Keane wasn't there.
It's the same thing. It's like the lead up.
Yeah, exactly.
To it. It was like the relationship was fractious to begin with. Then Saipan was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah.
But again, now I shake her hand. If you were to catch the photo of just when I look away, I'm still holding her hand. These boys hate each other.
Well, we saw what happened with Conte and Tuchel. If one of them held the hand longer, it would have been even worse.
Oh, you could screenshot that where Conte is looking away while shaking his hand, and then Tuchel is glaring at him and say, "Well, that was disrespectful from Conte." Yeah. You know what I mean? Because like it's just the thing. Now it did prove to be true with the Keane. The Keane thing too, that they didn't like each other, but at the same stage, it doesn't necessarily prove it. Anyways, I weren't analyzing this photo from 20 years ago, but the point being that I think this is building for a while. I think the Colombia thing was a real, people didn't think much of at the time. I don't think they thought,
that was weird.
But after seeing Cade McCabe's performances, I was like saying that she had fear in her eyes. I'd say she really resented that. I'd say that's the last thing I want someone to say about me, that I'm not up for this.
Yeah, and it's just the build up as well, like we mentioned, the IRA chance at as soon as you qualify, or the media storm.
I keep forgetting about that. That was mad.
Like so many media storm. Like they had everything going against them, really, going into the tournament, and then to finish the tournament, like one last cherry on top was like your star player and the manager are now no longer on speaking terms.
See you at the parade, folks. No more questions. Again. For the players like, a Cade McCabe or a Denise O'Sullivan, I'm sure their goal, or Shane Farrelly, my player of the match, their goal is obviously to win it. But from a wider kind of women's football view of this, I'd say this controversy is brilliant. More eyes. More eyeballs. This is what we need. You know?
There's going to be a media storm for whoever the new manager is. And then you're in everyone's
eyes. Where do these media storms come from, Will? Things are natural occurring media storms. Come on. Get your head out of the sand. This is all concocted by the FAI to get eyes on the team.
I do think coming out of the tournament now compared to going in, I know way more about the Irish women's team. It's been a success. If just for me and you, it's worked for us.
No, I think we're a fair representative of the population at large. I think everyone knows about as much as we do now, or on average they do. Yeah. But nonetheless, Will, see you in 2 years' time for the Euros, I guess.
Yeah.
Ladies.
Imagine we just didn't do a podcast until then.
We're back for the Euros, women's Euros.
Four downloads.
Azerbaijan or whatever, I don't know. Whoever owns the oil then, maybe. I'm not sure. Speaking of people who own the oil, will have all the money in the world. Patreon.com/unannouncedpodcast.
Yes, very smooth.
Give some of your oil money to us.
Yeah.
$4.50 a month. You'll hear more of this quality content.
You wouldn't give us a job for Saudi Arabia, but that won't stop you giving us money just as, you know, fans of the show.
Yeah, you know what? This could be like a trial, you know, keep listening to the Patreon episodes, extra episodes, see if we're good enough to come over to Saudi Arabia, do a show over there. Overpaid, of course, tax-free. Thank you very much.
We should set up a Saudi Arabian tier.
That'd be good. Yeah, oil baron tier.
12 million euro a month.
Whatever Jordan Henderson's wage is there per month.
I might do that.
Give us the same. The Hendo tier. Yeah. Or the ally tier, maybe.
Yeah.
If you want that, subscribe to Announces Podcast on patreon.com. You will find two episodes extra a week there. One episode isn't even about football. It's if you can imagine, we talk about other things as well. equally as prepared, equally as thought out, equally as good.
Yeah,
it's called After Nonsense. We recorded after this episode. It's like kind of an after work chill with the two best friends.
What happened? 20 episodes of that up there now for you to go back
fucking
and listen
hell.
To. Isn't that crazy?
Awful shite in there, I'd say. 20 episodes of unplanned talking. That should be illegal. Look, if you're interested in that, folks, if you enjoyed this episode that Will has Frankenstein together of different cuts and ums and ahs, then, like I say, there's more where that came from, a lot more.
Here's a good test. The recording is 1 hour, 7 minutes at the moment. Let's see how long the episode is at the end.
Ooh, I'm guessing the over-under. I'm guessing under 45, I would say. The last 10 minutes also has probably been cut as well.
There's a lot of cut, yeah.
There's a lot of cut there too. Like you just see you looking at me there. I was just talking away and you're just like staring blankly at me. I was like, oh, this is going to get cut. The editor's glare, folks. When you see, you'll know it. Because it's chilling.
Honestly, that is nonsense. Nonsense. All nonsense.
They say many, many garbage things.
You don't know what you're going to get.
You'll learn a lot more if you listen rather than talk all the time.
Plenty of time, no problem.